الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أكبر الله أكبر لا الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين يا أيها الذين آمنوا اذكروا الله ذكرا كثيرا وسبحوه بكرة وأصيلا هو الذي يصلي عليكم وملائكته ليخرجكم من الظلمات إلى النور وكان بالمؤمنين رحيما تحيتهم يوم يلقونه سلام وأعد لهم أجرا كريما الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين يا أيها النبي إنا أرسلناك شاهدا ومبشرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا وبشر المؤمنين بأن لهم من الله فضلا كبيرا ولا تطع الكافرين والمنافقين ودع أذاهم ودع أذاهم وتوكل على الله وكفى بالله وكيلا الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام، تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. Respected brothers, today's collection is on behalf of Buko Luto Mosque and Community Association Center, which is in Kampala, the capital city of Uganda. Approximately 430 students currently study at the madrasa, from which 230 stay within their boarding facilities. All brothers are kindly requested to contribute with your zakah, sadqa, lillah, donations. Jazakumullah. Before we begin, if I can kindly request everyone to come closer to the front. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lah, wa man yughlilhu fala hadiya lah. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. Wa nashhadu anna sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa sanadana wa maulana Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذ تأذن ربكم لئن شكرتم لأزيدنكم ولئن كفرتم إن عذابي لشديد صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين أما بعد. Dear respected brothers and elders, Alhamdulillah, despite the other commitments that we have to tend to, all the other responsibilities that we have, we are the selected few that have been handpicked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to attend such a gathering. Such a gathering in which angels, certain few angels have been selected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and their entire role is to roam around the entire earth and to find gatherings as such, where the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking place. As soon as they find such a gathering, they surround these places, lay down their wings. Peace, blessings, tranquility descends upon such a gathering. And they stack upon on top of each other until they reach the arsh, the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Upon reaching the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah converses with them, Allah asks them the question that what brings you here today? Allah the Almighty knows. Just so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can show to the angels that yes, you argued the fact that I was about to create humankind, yet look at them right now, what they're doing. Allah asks the angels, what has brought you here today? Why are you gathering in front of me for? The angels say, as part of our role, as part of our delegated responsibility, we've made our way to Masjid Nurul Islam, and we've seen Muslim brothers, young and old, gathering in the Jama'ah Khana, so they can remember you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then asks the angels once again, why are they there for? The angels say, they've come to ask for your paradise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks them the question again, have they seen my paradise? They're asking for something they haven't seen yet, have they seen? And if they were to see this paradise, what would they ask for thereafter? The angels will say, if they were to see the paradise, if they were to see Jannah, all the levels of Jannah, all the rankings of Jannah, they'd then ask for your protection from the hellfire. Allah will ask the question again, have they seen my hellfire? That they're asking for protection. The angel will say, no, they haven't seen your hellfire. Yet, as mentioned in the Qur'an, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ, these are those believers that believe in the unseen. We haven't seen Jannah, we haven't seen Jahannam. Yet we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for paradise. Yet we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from the hellfire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereafter will say, bear witness, O angels, each and every single one of them in that gathering that you've just ascended and transcended from, I've forgiven all of them. Whether it be young or old, whether it be someone that wants to be there or doesn't want to be there, upon which the angel will say, there's one person within that group, he doesn't really want to be there. He's about to hit 4:30, he wants to be at home watching Palace versus Spurs. He wants to be at home doing something else. Allah will say, just because he's adopted such a pious company, I've forgiven that person as well. So that is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it truly is a blessing that we've gathered in the best of all places. Which is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the hadith, أَحَبُّ الْبِلَادِ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَسَاجِدُهَا. Verily, the most beloved of places on the face of this earth are the masajid, are the mosques of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on the flip side, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the medium of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mentions, وَأَبْغَضُ الْبِلَادِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَسْوَاقُهَا. The places that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes the most, indeed are the marketplaces. So it's a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are gathered in such a place where the blessings, the tranquility and peace directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are descending down upon us. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and foremost, that He accepts our coming together. He accepts our attendance in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whatever we learn, whether it be through the nasheed, whether it be through the bayan, whether it be through the qira'ah, we make a conscious effort to adopt and make changes actively in our lifestyle, inshaAllah. So without taking further time, our first guest of honour is someone who's come from Preston, alhamdulillah. Mulla Jamil Saab, he graduated from Abrar Academy and is now currently teaching HIFZ at Abrar Academy 2. It is a very big responsibility to be a Hifz class teacher, a very demanding role. And by the same time, we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that each and every single time a student of his recites the Qur'an, may that reward be credited into his bank account as well, inshallah. So I'd like to call Mawlana Jamisa. Just a polite reminder as well, throughout the program and before each and every single bayan and nasheed takes place, if we can refrain from any photography, just to preserve the sanctity of the masjid. Jazakumullah.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته تو ہی رہے ہر دم محبوب ہر دم رہے بس تو مطلوب تو ہی رہے ہر دم محبوب ہر دم رہے بس تو مطلوب سب سے بڑھ کر تو مرغوب ہو سب سے بڑھ کر تو مرغوب ہو میری زباں پر الا اللہ سب مل کے لا الہ الا اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ بولو لا تکرار تو ہی رہے بس میرا یار نکھ دل میں اور لب پر تکرار تو ہی رہے بس میرا یار نکلے دل سے سب اغیار نکلے دل سے سب اغیار دل میں رہے بس الا اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ دنیا میں ہو جو بھی حسین، بے شک ہو وہ ماہ جبی، دنیا میں ہو جو بھی حسین، بے شک ہو وہ ماہ جبی، ان سے ہمیں کوئی کام نہیں، ان سے ہمیں کوئی کام نہیں، وہ ہے لا تو الا اللہ، ان سے ہمیں کوئی کام نہیں، وہ ہے لا تو الا اللہ، بولو لا الہ الا اللہ، لا الا اللہ، لا الہ الا اللہ، لا الہ الا اللہ، محمد رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. Everybody is requested to recite Durood Sharif. وہ نبیوں میں رحمت لقب پانے والا، مرادی غریبوں کی برلانے والا، مصیبت میں غیروں کے کام آنے والا، وہ اپنے پرائے کا غم کھانے والا، فقیروں کا ملجا، غریبوں کا ماوا، فقیروں کا ملجا، غریبوں کا ماوا، یتیموں کا والی، غلاموں کا مولا، خطا کار سے در گزر کرنے والا، خطا کار سے در گزر کرنے والا، بدن دیش کے دل میں گھر کرنے والا، مفاسد کا زیر اور زبر کرنے والا، قبائل کا شیر اور شکر کرنے والا، اتر کر حرا سے سوئے قوم آیا، اور لیکن اسے خیے کی میاں ساتھ لایا، اتر کر حرا سے سوئے قوم آیا، اور لیکن اسے خیے کی میاں ساتھ لایا، وہ بجلی کا کڑکا تھا یا صوت ہادی، وہ بجلی کا کڑکا تھا یا صوت ہادی، عرب کی زمین جس نے ساری ہلا دی، وہ نبیوں میں رحمت لقب پانے والا، مراد غریبوں کی برلانے والا، مصیبت میں غیروں ki kamane wala wo apne paraye ka gham khane wala wo apne paraye ka gham khane wala
sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
MashaAllah, barakAllah, absolutely astounding performance from Mullah Jameel. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he accepts Mullah's efforts, blesses him with even more sweetness in his already cuckoo's voice, and inshallah he resurrects Mullah with the likes of Hassan bin Thabit, Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu anhumah. Moving on, we have a very special guest already arrived, alhamdulillah. Someone that we are very, very familiar with, especially the students of Blackman Darul Uloom, myself included. Mullah Huzaifa, Mullah Usman would bear testament and give witnesses as well. Ever since we stepped foot into Darul Uloom in year 7, at the end of the year, we'll be looking forward to two things at the annual Jalsa. First one being Maulana Akid Bukhari's Bayan. Second of all, moving into the other building, we can enjoy Darul Chawal. Maulana, after graduating from Blackman Darul Uloom, not only did he showcase his Islamic studies, but then went on to academically become a medical doctor. And recently, after moving to Blackman, going around the country and motivating people like you and I, young or old, alhamdulillah, showcasing and displaying to us all that it's not a case of if you go into Darul Uloom, you're going to be bound by Islamic studies and that's it, but rather there is more than life to that. So I'd like to call upon Maulana and if he can share with us his words of wisdom.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد خاتم النبيين وعلى آله وصحبه وعلى كل من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. Honorable Ulama, respected colleagues, youngsters, elders and sisters listening at home, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Since the beginning of time, if you look at the history of humanity, there have been moments which have been special. There have been moments which have been blessed. There have been moments which have stood out. Since the beginning of time, there have been moments which have been epic and there have been moments which have been iconic. Now for some of you, you might be thinking about sporting moments. You might be thinking about 2005 in Istanbul if you're of the age that you remember. For others, you might be thinking about other moments related to sports, related to entertainment, related to your own life, related to your country, related to independence. But dear Muslims, I'm not talking about those type of iconic moments. I'm talking about real iconic moments. Like when Adam alayhi salam is reunited with Hawa in dunya. And they say, the Quran tells us, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِنْ لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. And Allah forgives them. You know that moment where they reunite and together they beseech Allah, they call out to Allah and Allah forgives them. You know the history of the timeline? That moment was iconic. When Nuh alayhi salam is riding waves the size of mountains. وَهِيَ تَجْرِيبِهِمْ فِي مَوْجٍ كَالْجِبَالِ. And he gets to safety while the entirety of humanity drowns. Allah safeguards him and his ship and the people on that ship. And they get to safety while everybody else drowns. You know that moment? That moment was iconic. When Ibrahim alayhi salam is being catapulted into the fire. A fire so great that they had to throw him in. Because they were scared they would get burnt themselves if they went close. And Ibrahim alayhi salam is flying in. And he gets to that fire. And to the utter amazement of the people watching, Ibrahim alayhi salam is chilling. Literally. Allah says, قُلْنَا يَا نَارُ كُونِي بَرْدًا وَسَلَامًا عَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمُ. Allah tells the fire to be cool and be peaceful for Ibrahim. And today we know there's something called the ice flame. Check it out. If Allah had just said, the scholars say this, if Allah had said, قُلْنَا يَا نَارُ كُونِي بَرْدًا, be cool, be cold for Ibrahim, then he would have frozen. But Allah said, وَسَلَامٌ عَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمُ, but be peaceful to him. You know that moment was iconic. Years later, after many trials and tribulations that he faced, and he passes every single test with flying colors, he's reunited with his son, Ismail alayhi salam. And he sees a dream that he's sacrificing his son. And what happens? He takes his son out to be sacrificed. And Allah depicts this moment in the Quran. فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَا, they both accepted. They both submitted to Allah's will. They both put Allah first. وَتَلَّهُ لِلْجَبِينَ وَنَادَيْنَاهُ أَنْ يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ قَدْ صَدَّقْتَ الرُّؤْيَا. Oh Ibrahim, you've passed the test. You know that moment, dear Muslims, dear youngsters, that is what you call iconic. When Yunus alayhi salam is in the depths of the sea, he's inside the whale, layers and layers and layers of darkness, and he calls out to Allah, La ilaha illa anta subhanak inni kuntu min al-zalimeen. And Allah forgives him. Allah protects him. You know that moment? That's what you call iconic. When Yusuf alayhi salam's qamis is returned to his father, and his father is restored with eyesight, and he's restored with family. Imagine the joy of Yaqub alayhi salam on that day, dear Muslims. That moment was iconic. When Yusuf alayhi salam is taken from the depths of the well to the throne of Egypt, that is what you call iconic. When Maryam alayhi salam carries that newborn child to her people and they're slandering her, they're cursing her, they're ridiculing her, they're accusing her of the worst crime. And the boy speaks, the child speaks, Inni Abdullah. Dear Muslims, you know that moment? That's what you call iconic. But there's one moment in the history of the timeline which stands out from all these epic and blessed and iconic moments. What's that moment? That moment was 1500 years ago when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the most iconic of angels, is sent down from the heavens in the most iconic land, Makkatul Mukarramah. In the most iconic month, Shahr Ramadan, الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ. On the most iconic night of the year, Laylatul Qadr. In the most iconic cave, غَارِ Hira. On the most iconic mountain, Jabal al-Nur. With the most iconic message, Al-Qur'an. To the most iconic heart, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. For the most iconic ummah, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. Dear Muslims, that is what we call iconic. And on that special night, many, many years ago, everything before that moment was leading humanity up to that moment. And everything after that moment is a consequence of that moment when the Quran is revealed. And what was the first message that Allah gives to me and you? It's the first communication to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's the first communication by extension to all of us. What was that first message? Five verses. And in those five verses of the Quran, Allah reveals an order, a command, twice. Iqra. اقرا باسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الانسان من علق اقرا وربك الاكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الانسان ما لم يعلم. These five verses are revealed on that iconic evening. Twice Allah says read, اقرا. Let's ask ourselves this question now. How much Quran have we read today? How much Quran have we read today? How much Quran have we read this week? How much Quran have we read this month? And in this message was not just to read the Quran and learn the Sharia. It's also learn about dunya, because Iqra is repeated twice. Let me frame it another way. What book have you read today? What book have you read this week? And you can't say, I have school and I've got holidays and I'm reading some play by Shakespeare. La, that doesn't count. What book have you read cover to cover, and when's the last time you read that book? Ask yourselves. And now ask yourself another question. When's the last time you scrolled? Moments ago? Maybe right now as I'm talking? When's the last time you were scrolling on your phone? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not tell us, shahid, view your phone. Allah said, read, iqra. Now why am I saying this to you? Because what have we become, dear Muslims? We wake, we scroll. No fajr prayed. Our hearts are numb, our minds betrayed. Before we praise the one who gave, we chase the dopamine that we crave. We check and check, our thumbs possessed. We fear we're missing what comes next. Yet really what's missing deep inside is the love of Allah we set aside. The Quran, remember that thing? Remember Iqra? Remember that epic night? The Quran sits still, serene. Its message is lost in blue lit screens. Wal asr, it screams. You are deceived. Yet still it goes so unperceived. Mental health? It's on decline. We're anxious, nervous and out of line. Our thoughts are scattered, our minds are weak. We've lost the ability to pause and seek. For what, dear Muslims? For tools that were designed to trap our gaze? To keep us in a constant daze? Designs that mimic slot machines? That monetize our children's hopes and dreams? The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned us with grace. نِعْمَتَانِ مَغْبُونٌ فِيهِمَا كَثِيرٌ مِّنَ النَّاسِ الصِّحَّةُ وَالْفَرَاغُ. Two blessings many waste away. Health and time don't throw astray. So ask yourself, what's gained? What's lost? What's the trade and what's the cost? We spend hours lost on the feed, but fail to meet our soul's true need. O Ummah, O Blackburn, rise. Awaken now. Let's beat this addiction. We'll find out how. Reclaim your heart, your mind, your sight, and reconnect to Allah and the guided light. Dear Muslims, studies show that the average 18-year-old today, if Allah was to allow them to live to the age of 90, the average 18-year-old today, if Allah affords them the ability to live to the age of 90, that's 72 years, how many years do they actually have of free time? Let's do this together. One third of your life, you're catching Zeds, you're sleeping. That's 24 years out of 72 gone, in your bed, sleeping. 10 years of your life on average, you will be in your work setting. This vessel is dunya, we need to work. Another 10 years of your life, on visiting people, collecting the children, dropping them off, changing the nappies, getting the groceries, going to the washroom, personal hygiene, cooking some food. That's another 10 years of your life gone with responsibilities. So ask yourself the question, if you were 90 years old, from the age of 18, Allah gave you 72 years to live, and you are on your deathbed, when you take away the dunyawi responsibilities that you have, how many years do you actually have of life left? I'll tell you, it's 28 years. That's it. 28 years. Now I want you to ask yourself this question. Imagine you're 19, you're on your deathbed, and you're looking back at your life. What would you hope that you made in dunya? And of course, when I say made in dunya, وَمَا تُقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ, we're really sending it forward. But what did you want and hope to send forward that you've made in dunya? Was it being part of a masjid community? Was it praying your 5 salah in the masjid? Maybe reading the Quran? Maybe becoming a hafiz of the Quran? Maybe understanding the words of Allah? Maybe giving da'wah to other people and calling them towards Islam? Maybe starting a charity project? A charity that nobody else is doing? Maybe helping orphans? Maybe helping the blind? Maybe helping the poor? Maybe helping your community? Maybe helping the non-Muslims and the Muslims that we're living around? Maybe tackling Islamophobia? These are the kind of things that you would likely aspire to do on your deathbed. Something that will be sadaqah jariyah for you, a perpetual charity, that you're in your grave and your bank balance of the hereafter is still increasing, exponentially, right or wrong. Of course, that's what we all want to do. And Allah grant us the ability to do that. But let's go to that study. The average 18-year-old today is on track to spend 93% of their time on a screen. I'll say that again. The average 18-year-old today is on course to spend 93% of that free time on a screen. Yes, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, whatever the flavor of the month, whatever the flavor of the year, whatever the algorithm is giving you. Now, if you had those 28 years of free time to connect to Allah, to connect to His Messenger, we are currently on track to use 26 of those 28 years on a phone. So the 90-year-old really has how many years to live? 2 years of free time. Dear Muslims, we are living in unprecedented times. We are living in a hyper-dopaminergic society. It's not all about the dollars anymore. That's not the economy. It's the eyeballs. It's the optic nerves. It's the attention economy that we're living in. Who can garner and gather our attention the most? Because if you can gather attention, guess what? You're profitable. It's unprecedented. It's never happened before. When COVID happened, everybody was in their homes. We thought we'd never seen a pandemic like this. We thought we'd never seen a virus like this before. Dear Muslims, I beg to differ. Because the current pandemic that we're living in, it's far more permeating. It's far more prevalent. And it's far more pervasive than COVID. Because every one of us still has it in our pockets right now. Every room in our house has 4 or 3 of them. The child is born. That same child that you asked Allah for years. And then you went to IVF. And then Allah gives you that child. After 10 years Allah gives you that child. Of your du'as. Du'as of the imams. Du'as in Haram. Du'as in Medina. Du'as in Aqsa. And Allah accepts your du'a. And after 2 weeks of paternal leave, you're back at work. Your wife's busy with the house chores. And the baby is being raised by Coco Melon. Is this what we asked Allah for these children for? The baby is being raised with Baby Shark. The baby is being raised by YouTube. The baby is being raised by Netflix. The child is being raised by things that me and you had never seen before when we were being raised. Don't you think that's having an impact on their brain? Neuroscientists tell us that for the first 3 years of a child's life, there should be little to no screen time. Zero. Zilch. And what do? We're on a journey. He's making too much noise. She's talking too much. Please be quiet. No, dad, mom, I want this. Okay. I'll put YouTube on for you. Just be quiet. And we click play and that's it. They're hooked. They've got their nasha. They've got their addiction. It starts literally from birth. And as the years go on, this addiction just grows and grows and grows. MashaAllah, you finished the Quran? Here's the new iPhone for you. I'm so proud of you. MashaAllah, you become a hafiz? Have 4 iPhones. Give them out to your friends as well. I'm so proud of you today. And it just continues. iPad, iPhone, Android, Apple, Samsung, you name it. The devices don't stop. We give them out like Smarties. Ask yourself this question. Go back just 25 years. If someone wanted to commit a sin against Allah, Allah forgive us and Allah protect us. If you wanted to commit a crime, if you wanted to commit a sin, then you had to physically go somewhere full of shame, hiding in the dark, going somewhere where no one can see you. You had to put some sort of effort in. Right or wrong? Dear Muslims, today in this one device, your son, your daughter, your brother, your father, your mother, no one is exempt. Nobody is an angel here. Every single one of us can commit majority of the kaba'ir in the Quran on one screen, upstairs in the bedroom, and you don't even have a sniff. Gambling, zina, adultery, fornication, pornography, speaking to people that you shouldn't be speaking to, backbiting, Discord servers, group chats, slandering people. Every single sin you can think of, dear Muslims, you can do on one device today. Unprecedented times. And what are me and you doing? Beta, you're speaking too much. Just go on your phone. What's your favorite episode? Please. My respected brothers and elders, we are better than this. We are far better than this. You know why? Because we are the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Didn't I tell you that epic night what happened? On the epic mountain when the epic Quran was revealed to the epic man sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for the most epic of ummas, us. When that Quran was revealed, that Quran told us a very, very important message. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ Allah told us that successful are the believers. And then Allah mentions many qualities of the believers. I'm just going to go over 2 today. Because they speak volumes for us. Number 1, أَلَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ Number 2, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ Think about these verses, dear Muslims. Allah says, successful are the believers. Now all of us listen to this and we say, Ya Allah, we want to be the believers. We want to be successful. Allah says, yes, look at these 2 qualities. When you pray, you're focused. When you pray, you're focused in your prayer. And number 2, you're not distracted. We have become a people who are distracted and not focused. Completely opposite to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what we have become. Dear Muslims, Are we part of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was the most intentional man that ever lived? Every single thing was full of intention. He told us that on the day of resurrection, the son of Adam will not move until he is asked 5 questions. One of those questions is your time and how you spent it. How are we spending our time today? And this is an exercise that I want you all to do right now. For the sake of Allah, you're in the house of Allah. It probably says here no phones allowed. But the shuyukh are here, we ask them permission inshallah. Check your phones. Take your phones out. Everybody take your phones out. And I want you to check your screen time for the sake of Allah. Your numbers won't lie. The figures won't lie. The facts won't lie. Look at your phone. If you've got an iPhone, scroll left. 2 times or 3 times. Your screen time will be written there. How many hours you are on your phone today and how many hours you are on your phone this week. The average is there. If you have an Android device, then check the well-being center. The numbers don't lie. MashaAllah, many of you haven't taken anything out. That means you don't have phones or you're hiding them. Guys, we're not in Darul Uloom anymore. You don't need a phone on the slide. So, if you've got a phone, check your screen time right now. If you're listening at home, check your screen time right now. And this is the time to do muhasabah of ourselves. What is our screen time? Hands up if your screen time is 1 hour a day. 1 hour a day average. Anyone? Hands up if it's 2 hours a day. 2 hours a day, mashallah. 2 hours here. Another person there, 2 hours. Hands up if it's 3 hours a day, your screen time. 3 hours a day. 3 hours a day. 4 hours a day. 4 hours a day. We've got a few people there. A few people here. 5 hours a day. 6 hours a day. At the back. 7 hours a day. 8 hours a day. Okay. The average screen time right now is 8 hours and 39 minutes. Do you know how crazy that is? If you spend 1 hour on your phone every single day, that equates to 15 days a year. Imagine you sat down and you were on your phone for 15 days straight. If you spend just 1 hour on your phone every day, that's 15 days of your year gone. On a screen, on a phone, on a device. 2 hours a day. Do the mathematics. That's 1 month of the year you have spent on your phone. When you think of it like this, you wake up. Wallahi, you wake up. If you spend 4 hours a day on your phone, you have just spent 2 months of your entire year on a screen. 8 hours a day, 4 months of the year. Next time we're doing our jawla, and we say to the brothers, let's go out in the path of Allah, including myself. And they say, brother, I don't have time. We need to say, show me the receipts, please. Can I see your screen time? If it's 8 hours or more, they've got 4 months. They have 4 months because you know that 8 hours a day equates to 4 months of the entire year. Now, why am I telling you this? Because 97% of the UK's population own a smartphone. 97%. 91% of 11-year-olds own a smartphone. According to Pew Research, 60% of participants of this study that was done in America said we are constantly on our phone. And this was people from the age of 18 to 29. Dear Muslim, this phone has entered every single pocket. It has entered every single vehicle. It has entered every single home. And we're going to live with it. Because this is the dunya. But don't let it control your time. Now I want to phrase this in a different way. How much is your time worth? What's the value of your time? Let's say your time is worth £10. MashaAllah, many of you will say, well, I'm on 15, I'm on £12.50, I'm on £20. Let's just say you're on £10 an hour. Let's say your 1 hour is worth £10. And you're on your phone 4 hours a day. How much money have you just spent on your phone? £40. Usually when we talk in currencies and money, people listen more. Because Allah tells us this as well, about transactions, about investments. And then we're supposed to listen. Because this is how our mind works. So £40 a day you've just wasted on your phone. Because you spent 4 hours on it. You could have earned and accumulated 40 quid. How much is that in a week? What's 4 times 7? 28? So that's £280 you have just wasted on your phone. How much is that in a month? More than £1,000? Of course. More than £1,000 you have wasted on your phone just by spending 4 hours a day on it. And this is if your time is worth £10. Our time is far more valuable than £10. So next time we complain about cost of living, just check your screen time and see what you've been doing. See what you've been accumulating. Next time we complain, we don't have time to study. We don't have time for our GCSEs. We don't have time for A-levels. We don't have time for Quran. We don't have time for the masjid. Check your screen time. You will find it. You will find your time. You will find it in your screens. Now I hope all of you have kind of established the purpose of my talk today. We're living in a pandemic. It's a big problem. And most of us are hooked. Most of us are addicted. Let's be honest. If you think you're not addicted, then guess what? That's the first stage of getting over your addiction. It's called denial. You don't need to be a psychiatrist to know that. You don't need to be a psychiatrist to know that you're going through the denial phase right now. So let me give you some signs of an addict. Sign number one. And then you can think about yourself and say, is that me? What I don't want you to do is think about your wife or your sister or your daughter or your sibling. Think about yourself first. Before you go home and say, look, the Mawlana Sahib was saying that you're a phone addict. You do all of these things. What about yourself? Let's look at ourselves first. Number one, it's called nomophobia. Have you heard of nomophobia? Nomophobia. When you don't have your phone, you're anxious. Be honest with yourself. If you misplace your phone for a minute, for 5 minutes, and your brain's like, wait, hang on, where's my phone gone? You're so super anxious. You're checking everywhere. Even if you're the greatest introverted person, and you're outside, and you've left your phone at a takeaway, you will go and speak to everyone in the shop. Even though that's not your personality, you will start speaking to people. Brother, have you seen my phone? Have you seen my phone? Have you seen my phone? That's a sign of an addiction. You've got anxiety. It's called nomophobia. Symptom and sign number two. Phantom vibrations. One person's phone rings in salah. That was my phone. Everyone starts moving. Everyone's shuffling. One person's phone is vibrating in the gathering. I think that was mine. That's a phantom vibration. That's a sign that you're an addict. Neglecting responsibilities, another symptom sign. What do I mean by neglecting responsibilities? Your father is calling you. Your mother is calling you. Your sisters are calling you. Your children are calling you. Dad, Baba, your son is calling you. Your daughter is calling you. You can't even hear them because you're so engrossed on your phone. Guess what? You're an addict. Another sign and symptom that you're on your phone. Whenever you get the opportunity, you will be checking. You're waiting in line. You're waiting to go deliver something or send something in the post office. No, salamu alaikum, how are you? How's everything? How's family? Everyone in the queue is on their phone. You're at the bus stop, on the phone. You're driving the car. Another sign, hazardous use. 10,000 deaths every single year because of phone driving. Not drink driving, phone driving. It's a hazard. But there you are driving, texting away, snapping half of your face to someone, sending a picture on Instagram, sending your friend a picture of the number plate because it's their name and it's like, yo, look at this, this is your name. You're an addict. When the traffic light is red, you stop. Look around. Every single person, check your mirrors. Everyone is doing muhasabah. And you're like, Which revelation is coming down right now? Everyone is doing muhasabah. What are they doing? They're checking their phones. You're an addict. You go to the toilet. You take it with you. you're an addict. You go to sleep, you take it to the bedroom, you're an addict. The first thing you do when you wake up in the morning, you look at your phone, guess what? You're an addict. The last thing you do before you go to sleep, what is it? Allahumma bismika amutu wa ahya? Or are you looking at your jawal? Are you looking at your phone? Dear Muslims, we are addicts. And it's all of us. Whether you're young, whether you're old, whether you're small, or whether you're a chacha, whether you're a baba, whether you're a dada, nani, everyone is hooked on this device. Everyone is hooked on this drug. And the greatest thing about it is, we don't even know it. In 2007, and I'm saying this because it's important for you to know, the creators of these devices, what do? Because they've created them. So in 2007, Steve Jobs, when he gave that speech, and he introduced the iPhone to the world, he's on record to be interviewed after, and they said, how do your children find the device? He said, my kids? Oh, we don't have screens at home. We don't have screens at home. The current CEO of Apple, he said that if you look at your screen more than you look at someone's face, there's something wrong with you. These guys have a business where they sell these devices. If you go in to attention economy, you will very, very quickly find out something. That they just want your eyeballs. And you are the product. You might think Snapchat is free. You might think Instagram is free. You might think YouTube is free. You might think TikTok is free. But you are paying for it with your time. You are the product. You are what's using it. Why do you think they call it a feed? Because you're the digital cattle. World Wide Web to catch you. To catch you guys. To catch me. That's why it's a web. Surfing? Why is it called surfing? Because you just go from one wave to another. From one click to another click. And now, since the last couple of years, when you go at the bottom of a page, you can't even select next page. It's one continuous reel. Again, why? To keep you hooked on, to keep you on this drug, to keep you on this nasha. And me and you don't even know it. And 2 hours will go by, and we're still on our phone. 4 hours will go by, we're still on our phone. Neglecting responsibilities. Dear Muslims, I want to take you back to the 1960s and 70s. Many of the elders, Allah bless them, they might have been here in the 1960s and 70s. Smoking just became prevalent. Tobacco industry, big tobacco. Everybody is benefiting. The people at the top are making millions and billions from cigarettes. And more than 50%, some statistics show that 70% of the UK's population was smoking. 70% of people were smokers. Right now, it's less than 10%. In the 60s and 70s, 70%, 50% of women were smoking. If you go to the doctor's surgery, and you speak to the doctor about your problems, he'll say, before you have a discussion with me, let's both have a fag together. The doctor's giving you a cigarette. That's how normal it was. It was normalized. And what happened? Research was done 20 years later. COPD, lung cancer, bronchiectasis, you name it. Diseases are spreading, people are dying. Now the government intervenes. We can't have this. We can't have our employees dying. We can't have our workers dying. Tax on smoking. Tax on cigarettes, tax on import, tax on export. So much so, education in schools, education in hospitals. That now, less than 10% of people smoke. Only in 20, 30 years. From 70%. And everywhere you'll see, smoking kills, smoking kills. It's in your brain. I shouldn't be smoking. It's going to kill me. Research shows us that for one cigarette someone has, one day of their life is gone. One cigarette equals one day of your life. Dear Muslims, smoking does kill, of course, we know that. Everyone knows that. But scrolling also kills. Scrolling also kills. How? Because if you spend 2 hours a day on your phone, that's not 30 days of your life gone. That's 30 days of your year gone. So are you telling me he's not killing us? Chronic distractibility syndrome? We can't function for more than 30 seconds. Why do you think that is? Because our brains have become wired to look at things for 15 or 20 or 30 seconds. How are we going to have relationships? How are we going to speak to our spouses? How are we going to raise our children? How are we going to work in a set in a workplace? When our attention span is 15 to 20 seconds. Right? And we are the ummah and the legacy of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that when someone would come to speak to him, he wouldn't look on his device, na'udhu billah, and respond. He would turn his entire body to face that individual out of respect. إِذِ الْتَفَتَ الْتَفَتَ جَمِيعًا. And what are we doing today? Our children, these beautiful roses and petals Allah has given us, they're speaking to us and we're just on our phone. We're just on our phone. Now, at this stage of the talk, I hope you've all understood that there's a problem. What's the remedy? Because when there's a problem, when you have angina, you go to the doctors, they give you something. When your blood pressure is high, they will give you something. When you've got a headache, they will give you something. So what's the remedy? What's the dawa here? It's a whole process. Number one, and you can write this down if you want to, but number one, delete the apps. Hands up if you've got TikTok. Be honest, you're in the house of Allah. Hands up if you have TikTok. Okay. I've probably done this in about 10 masjids now and schools and colleges and universities. It's an open stage. There's another mic maybe there. Please come up to the front and let's have a debate of why you think you need TikTok. Unless it's for business purposes, I'm not talking about that. For any other purpose, let's have a debate right now, live and open. Nobody. Because you know you don't need it. Nobody needs TikTok. If you're doing it for business purposes, we'll talk about that at the end. But you yourself should not have TikTok. You don't need it. The amount of filth you will see on TikTok, you might say, no, but I see lots of people doing good bayans and taqreez and Quran and tilawa. That is 2%. What about the other 98% of filth that you will see? You're brainwashing yourself. The people who create these apps, they go to Las Vegas casinos. They hire addiction specialists. They recruit them. They pay them millions of pounds to make apps which are addictive for me and you. And there we are, scrolling away. It's just TikTok, it's fine. It's a drug. Get off it. Delete it for the sake of Allah. Ibrahim alayhi salam is being asked what? What's he being asked? He's leaving his father as a young child for the sake of Allah. He's being catapulted into fire for the sake of Allah. He's leaving his wife and his newborn child in a desert, biwadin ghayri dhi zar'in, for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. He's about to sacrifice his son for the sake of Allah. Because when he lived, he meant Allahu Akbar when he said it. Every time Allah was Akbar. And today, get off TikTok, delete it. We're like, yeah, no, I need it. No, I'm good. I'll just keep it for. I'm fine. I'm not addicted. Where are the trials and tribulations of Ibrahim alayhi salam? What is your challenge? You're not being thrown into a physical fire, dear Muslims, but you are definitely in social fires today. We are definitely in social fires today. Delete the apps. You don't need TikTok as an app on your phone. You don't need YouTube as an app on your phone. You don't need Instagram as an app on your phone. You don't need access to any of these apps. If you need to communicate with someone, use one of them. Maybe WhatsApp. Maybe FaceTime. Maybe use something which everybody's using. You just need one app for communicating. Why do you need five? Oh, because FOMO, fear of missing out. I can't go to work on Monday morning. I can't go to college on Monday morning. I can't go to university on Monday morning and not know what the latest trend and meme is. Fear of missing out? Let's call it JOMO, the joy of missing out. You should be happy to miss out. Why are we following these trends for? You should be the trendsetter. You should be the followed, not the follower. Because that's the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the first thing, for the sake of Allah, make an oath today. Any of these apps on my phone, any of these devices and apps that I don't need, I am going to delete them today for the sake of Allah. Because I know what my eyes have seen. The angels have recorded what our eyes have seen. Allah is watching what we're doing. But if you make that step today for the sake of Allah, watch how your life will be illuminated. Delete the apps from your phone. If you really need to have some sort of access, go on a desktop, put your password in, load Safari, www.instagram.com, put your password in again, and then go on Instagram. Why am I saying this? Because you're putting barriers in the way. You're putting things in the way to protect yourself. You're not going to take your desktop to the toilet. Are you? I hope not. You're not going to carry your desktop around. You're not going to carry your CPU and VCU around. But this phone goes everywhere with you. So limit the apps that you have, especially these social media addictive apps that are paying millions and millions to get you hooked and your kids hooked. That's the first thing. And this isn't just for the youngsters. I'm talking about me. I'm talking about the elders. Delete the apps. Nobody's an angel here. Respectfully. Number two, if you are under the age of 16, I'll say this again, and don't come start hating me, all the youngsters here. If you are under the age of 16, trust me, you don't need a phone. You do not need a phone. And I'm not saying this. Neuroscientists are saying this, who have spent years in the research. It's messing up with your psyche. It's messing up the brain tissue that you have. It's literally frying your brain. And you will have problems later on in life. Allah protect us. And if you think you need a phone, or if your father thinks you need a phone, or if your mother thinks you need a phone, then guess what? Tell your mum and dad, or you yourself, start driving as well. Take your father's Range Rover Sport and take it for a cruise around Blackburn. Is anyone going to give you their car when you're 14, when you're 13, when you're 15? No. Why? Because your prefrontal cortex is not developed. There's a reason why these rules are in place. There's a reason why you're 18, actually sometimes you're 21, and then you can go in a contract, of a phone contract, to purchase something over months. You have to be 21. But how crazy is it that you have to be 13 to have WhatsApp? It makes no sense. 21 to buy a phone on contract, but 13 to get WhatsApp. Put two and two together, guys, and wake up. So if you are under 16, you do not need a phone. If you need your phone for some purposes like studying, no problem. But it needs to be in a communal space. Dear fathers, dear mothers, do not give your children these devices and they are upstairs in their bedrooms. Even if your child is the poster boy for Nurul Islam. I'll tell you a story about a poster boy. This was in the States. There was a young boy. He was becoming hafiz of the Quran. 9, 10 years old. He was doing very well. And anytime someone would come, he was the poster boy of that masjid. He would recite the Quran so beautifully. Because they were proud of his achievements. And his mother and father, out of goodwill, out of ikhlas, they gave the child a device to listen to the Quran. And straight away, a few months went by, his progress depleted, diminished. And the parents are upset. The teachers are upset. How come he doesn't know his door? How come he's not learning his sabak? How come he's not learning his sabak para? Last year he did 5 juz. This year he can't even do 1 and he's forgotten those 5 as well. He's not interested anymore. What's wrong with him? And the parents are like, look, we're not going to put pressure on him. Leave him. He's going through a phase. Allah protect us from this moment, dear Muslims. But one occasion the mother goes upstairs to see her son upstairs. He's in his bedroom. They think he's learning the Quran. She walks in. He's on his phone. And he's watching the most filthiest things on his phone. And he's an addict. He's addicted. He's hooked. And the story goes that many years later, he comes to his parents and he tells them when a month has gone by and he hasn't seen this filth that month. Because he's so hooked on it. Now you tell me, was it that innocent child's fault? You tell me. Who was in responsibility there? We will be questioned about this, dear Muslims. And the phones and the apps, you cannot control them. The pop-ups, the people speaking to them, your son's playing PlayStation. Who is he talking to on the other side? How do you know who he's communicating with? These are all things that you should be aware of. So if your child wants to go on a device, first of all, restricted for time. Weekdays, no phones, no devices. Weekends, maybe 1 hour Saturday, 1 hour Sunday. 2 hours, maybe you can play your PlayStation, whatever. That depends on you. But weekdays, no, a big no. And even weekends, it's supervised. You're playing with someone online, put it on loudspeaker so we can all hear. You're doing some homework, you're playing some games, you're speaking to someone, you're on YouTube, it needs to be in the living room where we can all see. Why does it need to be in your bedroom? Not in my roof, not under my house. We need to put these rules in place. Another one. There needs to be places in the home which are screen free. What do I mean by screen free? You're sitting on the dasturkhan. You're sitting with your spouse. You're sitting with the children. Everyone's on their phone and having food. Everybody's watching football and having food. Everybody's on YouTube watching food. Is this the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? You're supposed to look at each other. You're supposed to smile at each other. Our Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam kana bassaman dahaka. He was the one who would smile the most. Mufallajul asnan. His teeth were like pearls. His teeth were the perfect dentist advert. His smile was the best. Would the Sahaba have known that if he was looking down all the time? If he was on his phone all the time? Of course he would look at them. He would speak to them. He would smile at them and they would smile back at him. His smile was infectious. When's the last time we smiled at our wives? When's the last time we looked at our children? Or are we so engrossed in our phones? So please, for the sake of Allah, in your homes, have areas which are screen-free. Bedroom, you don't need your phone. You need to set the example for the children. Your child will look at you and say, "Dad, but you use your phone in the bedroom, why can't I?" They are impressionable. You have to live by it. In the bedrooms, there are no phones allowed. On the dining table, on the dasturkhan, no phones allowed, including mom and dad. If you need to charge your phone, you charge it in a different room, not your bedroom. Phone for alarm clock? No. Go to Poundland. It costs £2 or £3 nowadays. Buy an alarm clock. Invest in one. It'll be your best investment. Because it'll prevent you from looking at your phone before you go to sleep. Don't do that. Because when you look at your phone before you go to sleep, you're telling your phone from one side, wake up. Because it's blue light. We're created in a way that light wakes us up. The darkness doesn't wake you up, does it? Light wakes us up. It changes the hormones and the chemicals in our body. But we're looking at our screens and telling our brain from one side, soja, go to sleep. And from the other side, we're saying to our brain, wake up, because it's blue light. You're literally frying your brain. And then you don't have a good night's sleep. And then you miss Fajr Salah. Who's to blame? And when we wake up in the morning, that night Allah has given you, لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. Allah the Almighty, Allah the All-Powerful, Allah the Majestic, Allah the Greatest, Allah the Most Merciful, Allah the Most Loving, Allah the Most Caring and Compassionate. Everyone goes to sleep. And my Allah is awake. My Allah is watching. He gives everybody time to rest. Why? Because we need it. We need to recharge our batteries. We're like that electric vehicle that you plug in overnight. Our battery power is increased overnight. You call it dopamine. The dopamine charges up overnight. And when you wake up in the morning, that's the chemical that makes you get up and do things. Have you ever noticed that it's nighttime and you're studying and it's not going in your brain? But when you wake up in the morning, oh, this makes so much sense now. You know why? Because you're recharged. You're refreshed. You're rejuvenated. But when you wake up in the morning and the first thing that you do Alhamdulillah ala al-jawwal. You look at your phone and you start scrolling. Within 10 to 15 minutes, studies show, all of that dopamine is gone. 10 to 15 minutes of scrolling. That's it. Why do you think we're demotivated? Why do you think we bed rot? Bed rot, that's what you call bed rotting. You wake up in the morning and you can't get out of bed because there's no battery. The tank is empty. It's logic, dear Muslims. So why are we falling for this? So rule, in your house there must be screen-free zones. The bedroom is a big no for you and for your children. You have to set the example for them. Another important rule for all of us about these phones. I said delete the apps. Keep them, keep one maybe for communication. Have it on your desktop if you really need to go on it. You can use it on your desktop. Another thing that we can do is we can try to do days of phone fasting. What do I mean by phone fasting? It's fasting but with a PH. PHASTING. Fasting, but from your phone. Do itikaf from your phone. Try to spend a day for the sake of Allah without your phone. Try to come to the masjid and leave your phone at home. If you know that someone needs to contact you, and you definitely need some emergency contact, for example, get one of those old Nokias. You can still buy them. It's £10 from Argos. I've bought one. £10, that's all it costs. And you can put your wife's number in. You can put your children's number in. If they need to call you, they can call you on that phone. But a smartphone, do you really need it when you come to the masjid? You don't. So try to go days where you're not using your phones. Very, very, very important. And most importantly, and I'll finish on this point and I'll do a quick Q&A with you guys. Most importantly, spread this message. By Allah, spread this message. Because this is one of the greatest fitness of our time and it's not going away. AI has come in. AI psychosis has already started. People think they're in relationships with AI. It's already started. Now look, I'm not anti-tech. We need technology. We need to live with dunya. But everything in moderation. You need to be aware of the harms of tech. And the pros of tech. Just like water. Water can quench your thirst like no other thing. But water can also drown you. Water also creates a tsunami. That's why when you read Surah Al-Falaq, what do you say? قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقْ إِسْعَامٍ. We're seeking refuge from Allah. We're in a state of refuge from Allah in everything which He has created. Because the only thing which has no shar is Allah. The surah before, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدْ. And that's why He is as-samad. Because we lean on Him. Because He is free of all faults and free of all defects. So dear Muslims, raise this awareness. Speak to each other about it. Have accountability. What's your screen time? What's your screen time this week? If you know that people are constantly online, give them a reminder. I was just in Luton this week. We had a few programs there in my local masjid in Luton. Our students in our local masjid, and I'm saying this to you because mashallah, you're in Blackburn. You are living in Blackburn right now. In Luton, the high school's there are stabbings that happen outside the high school. One student from that same high school, he was in our Hibs class in Maktab. Normal state school and Maktab. This student, if you listen to his story, he is 18 years old now. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah, Allah preserve him. He's 18 years old. He's studying Alamiya part-time in that same masjid. He's in his first year of medical school at Queen Mary Barts University. He has read the entire Quran from Al-Hamz Alif to the scene of one Nas 200 times in one sitting to his ustad. 200 times. Imagine how many times outside of that. He has recited the entire Quran in front of Baytullah in Makkah al-Mukarramah in two rakats. He has recited the entire Quran in Masjid al-Nabawi in two rakats. Go and speak to him. He says, there's no screens at home. We're not allowed phones. On the weekends, my mum and dad say, 1 hour you can spend on the phone. And there are six hufad in that one house. There are six hufad in that house. Allah bless them. Allah preserve them. And now, in that very same maktab. They don't have carpet, beautiful carpet like this. They don't have a beautiful masjid like we do here. Probably ripped up carpet, a small little masjid. 15 students in the last 4 years have read the entire Quran to the ustad from the beginning till the end in one sitting, in 6 hours. And they're just regular students that go not to Darul Ulum, to a normal state school. And now it's a competition. Who's going to be the youngest to read the entire Quran in 2 rakats? Dear Muslims, I'm not talking about Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu anhu. I'm not talking about Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. I'm not talking Imam al-Shafi'i. I'm talking about people, students, youngsters in our zamana, in our time. A 12-year-old 3 months ago in that masjid recited the entire Quran in 2 rakats after Isha. He was there, his father was present and a few students. They finished that Fajr. He stood the entire night and recited the entire Quran. You speak to his mum and dad, what do they say? Oh, he's not allowed a phone. There's no phones at home. That's where the time is. This is what we are capable of, inshallah. But we can only be capable of this if we maximize our time. If you maximize your time for the sake of Allah, if you do everything for the sake of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make things easy for you. Don't just follow the crowd. We need to carve our own path. And that's what taqwa is. Living amongst those thorns in dunya and trying to navigate through. I make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He makes us people of Quran. I make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He reminds us and returns us to our legacy, which was Iqra, not Shahid. I make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He makes us people that spread khair in dunya and prepare for akhirah. I make dua for this masjid. Allah bless you. Allah bless your community. I say thank you and gratitude to the people who've invited me. Mullah Uthman and the other shuyukh here. Allah bless them. They're doing great work. Help them. Encourage them. Maybe if we get off our phones, we'll have the time to do so. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruk wa natubu ilayk. Wa jazakumullah khairan. Is it time for a Q&A? Few minutes, inshallah. If there's any questions, bismillah. So if you've got no questions, either you don't understand anything or you've understood everything. It's one of the two guys. Any questions about anything? About how to do things at home? How to stay away from phones? Or like about business? If you're using your phone for business purposes, yes, that's fine. But again, do muhasabah regularly. Don't get hooked on while you're at business hours. Gee, Sheikh, had a question? No? No questions? Gee, Sheikh, bismillah.
Mona, I just listened to the program. I find what I want to take out Islam. I know it took my restriction on phone. I would like to say you really inspired me because since I get high, I made restriction and I made a restriction 1 hour in the morning. No, I mean 1 hour in the afternoon.
Alhamdulillah. Jazakumullah khairan. Allah bless this brother. Allah bless us. And Allah give me the tawfiq. Allah give us all the tawfiq to be like you. When we're cut off from social media, we don't need to go in it. If you need to go in it for a reason, for the sake of Allah, you use it. If you need to go in it for business, for dunya, that's fine. But really, for entertainment, we don't need it. We don't need it. And especially TikTok. You know in China, dear Muslims, TikTok is banned after 6 p.m. It doesn't work. It's banned. And in China, when you can use TikTok between 10 a.m. and 6 p.m, the algorithm only shows educational videos. Why do you think they're so ahead? And what are we feeding on? We're just digital cattle munching away. Digital farmers, digital cattle, just eating whatever is given to us and brainwashing ourselves. And, you know, Allah protect us. Any other questions, guys? Naam, Sheikh. Yes. I think dumb phones are good. So maybe the smarter phones, what Sheikh is saying, a dumb phone is coined for the phone like an old brick Nokia. They're not bricks anymore, by the way, they're quite small now. So a dumb phone is perfect. So if your son, your daughter is at college, is at university, and you need to communicate with them, just give them a Nokia. Just give them one of those phones and say, beta, I'll be at the gates, just call me if you need me. There's nothing wrong with that. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. And many parents always ask this question, but everybody's got it. And I don't want them to be abnormal. Ibrahim alayhi salam was also abnormal. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam to the Makkans was abnormal. Yunus alayhi salam was abnormal. Isa alayhi salam was abnormal. Maryam alayhi salam was abnormal. Every single Nabi that has come, every single pious person that has come, for awam, for dunya, they were abnormal, they were anomalies. But those become the stars. But we need, if we raise this awareness, and my family is not doing it, Maulana's family is not doing it, Hazrat's family is not doing it, then even our kids, it's like, well, our friends don't have phones either. It's just normal. So you need to create that culture. Now, don't wait for the government to intervene. They are going to intervene. Very soon, I'm telling you this, as a medic, I'm telling you this. Very soon, when you go to the doctors, and they ask for your history, you know they ask you questions, right? Dard kidre, is tarafe or tarafe? Is it like a sharp pain? Is it hard pain? Anyone in your family got any problems? What medication are you taking? Then they ask you about your social life. In your social history, very soon they will start asking you, what's your screen time? How many hours are you on your phone every day? Because these addictions are going to start. But don't wait for that time. Don't wait for the 20, 30 years of research. Do not be guinea pigs, dear Muslims. Wake up. Have the firasa that we should have as the ummatis of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Spread this khayr to our Muslim and non-Muslim neighbors. Explain this to them. Now, yes.
How would you go about talking about like phone and screen addiction to your elders or parents? What would be a safe way to bring it up to make them aware of it instead of?
I think we have these examples in the Quran. Ibrahim alayhi salam spoke to his father. So I think the best way is, look at the way Ibrahim alayhi salam did it, with adab, with respect, with love. Ya abati, oh my beloved father. Right? And then saying it in a way that these are the harms. Not saying, oh my God, why are you always on your phone for? What's wrong with you? Do you know this is bad for you? So it's about the way you say it. This tongue is a very, very powerful tool, dear Muslims. You can say one thing and make the person fall in love with you. You can say the same thing in a different way and they'll hate you for the rest of your life. So it's the, I would say, the approach is, plan it in a way. If you've got siblings, all of you maybe, one person says it in the morning, another person says it the next day, just subtly, oh, you know, phones are really bad. There's some new research that's come out that said that they're actually causing problems with your fingers and making them crooked and making your neck bent, which actually it is. They're giving you physical deformities as well because you're always like this. So if you start mentioning in this respectful, with adab, with love, with harmony, inshallah they will listen. And of course you make dua. Of course you make dua for them. But I think going to them and saying, oh, you're doing something bad, then be ready for the judgment, inshallah. Now, that's it. Barakallahu feekum, jazakumullahu khairan. Salaam wa rahmatullah.